There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I, lots to get to. And the phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, heads up, it has gotten cranked up now. The Summer Better Than Others giveaway. Today, the first day, you can register, and it's from now through next week at the Carrot Patch in Mobile in the Pine Brook Shopping Center, corner of Airport and McGregor. So the box is there. The registrations are being taken. You can drop them in now through the rest of the week, the weekend into next week. Drop those names in the registration box. Then we'll move to a new location and give you another shot. It is going to be in Baldwin County. It'll be in Mobile County, back and forth. And each week, like the folks that are registering for these 6 days, have a chance to win a $50 gift certificate from the Carrot Patch, plus be entered into the grand prize drawing that happens later in July for $5,500 worth of gear from the Carrot Patch, an old-time feed, Goldfingers, Grey Gulf Charters, Mike Ward Liberty Safes, and the Cart Doctor. All the details on our Facebook page and website. Just look for the Summer Better Than Others contest. All right, and I want to get to it here. We're going to talk with our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. I want to talk about a story that he put out yesterday and a story he's working on today and maybe some in between, because there's a lot to talk about. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. Let's start off in Fairhope. Let's start off talking Baldwin County this afternoon, and your story up that is one of quite a few you've done on the goings-on, and yes, that's a technical term, the goings-on, in Fairhope between the mayor, the city council, the police chief. This is like as the world turns going on. Where are we now in our drama? I guess fill in the backstory and let us know where we are as of Monday night.
Yeah, so this has been going on really for 18 months since the new mayor, Karen Wilson, was, took office and the new city council took office. It's just been kind of a back and forth between the two sides. They don't see eye to eye whether or not it's in leadership or approach or style and philosophy, so on and so forth. But it's been going on for a while. A lot of it has to do on a lot of the complaints are with regards to Ms. Wilson, Mayor Wilson's handling of some longtime employees and the city council coming back with their viewpoints and kind of just a power play struggle that's been going on. And it's been going on for 18 months. Well, we talk about summer heating up. It really heated up this past 2 weeks in Fairhope, and it all had to do with the police chief's position. And it's boiled over in two different meetings. And I know my story up on AL.com and in the paper today really lays it out, I think, that, talking about the two meetings and the issues and the folks that were vocal at both of them.
Yeah, I want to get into, I'm going to jump around a little bit in the story, but you laid out that this has been ongoing, but it has over the last 2 weeks boiled back up. We've had a renewed eruption here from Mount Fairhope. And one of the things, like you're talking about Chief Pettis, and I got to ask you, because I read through your story, and you have the chief saying, that this bad review from the mayor, talked about how that affected him, and then you had, I guess, last week or the week before, the city council members tearing up some paper that was supposedly the resignation of the chief, and then the chief saying that he, actually did go to Montgomery to talk about retiring with RSA. I mean, I'm confused. It sounds like there's maybe, in this case, something on both sides. I mean, it wasn't that the chief hadn't talked at all about retiring. It sounds like that was a thing that was already in the works. Am I wrong in that?
No, you're correct in that. And like anything in Fairhope these days, there's two sides to the story. And you really have to get both sides there. You know, according to Mayor Wilson, she had indicated the chief had, you know, the chief was appointed by the former mayor, which she defeated, Tim Kahn, back in, I believe, 2013. He took over the job there. And, she discussed with him at the time, you know, about helping with the transition. He's a fairly popular police chief. I haven't heard really anybody say anything overly negative about him. Like all administrations, you come into office and you want to put your own folks in there. But according to Mayor Wilson, they talked about the chief staying in there during the transition. And that's where we come about now. The chief apparently received this bad review in late May, late last month. And he and his wife apparently traveled up to the RSA facilities in Montgomery to discuss, going about retiring by July 1st. At that point, that's when apparently word got back to Mayor Wilson, who somehow the city, someone in the city, sent out a press release indicating the chief was moving on. And that was news to the chief, and so that's where that brings us to the June 4th special called city council meeting, in which you saw some of those, I guess you can call them theatrics, play out right. In regards to ripping up contracts and resignation letters or whatever have you. And it was pretty much a pro Chief Pettis crowd in that audience.
Sure.
They spoke lovingly about him. I mean, you're sitting here watching this thing, you're like, this guy sounds like a saint. I mean, it was tremendously pro chief, and of course, one sided on that. And that brings us to Monday night's meeting, which more of Mayor Wilson's supporters showed up and accused the city council of orchestrating that whole meeting, putting it together to really go after the mayor. And so that's kind of what the issue is at right now. The chief has apparently indicated he's willing to stick around as long as he can answer to the city council, which I don't know if legally that's possible, but an attorney is looking into that matter as we speak, and supposedly a reporter and analysis on that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Talking with John Sharp from AL.com and the latest out of Fairhope here. I go back once again, though, because I'm just trying to make sure I understand, and not that it may not be pertinent or germane to the issue, but when the transition happened 18 months ago, at that point, did Chief Pettis say, because I get the same thing, he obviously is very popular, at least with people that listen, that text the station, talking about the chief there in Fairhope, a popular man, but did he at that point say, all right, I'm going to be leaving here soon. I'll help you with the transition. I'm on the way out. I mean, was there something like that for the council or the mayor to expect he was leaving? And what I'm getting to is, then why would you give a bad review if you knew he was about to leave anyway? You know, you usually would just let, the situation run its course.
Yeah, I mean, those are all good questions. Again, you're going to get two sides of the story on this with Fairhope. I mean, from the mayor's side of things is that her comment is that the chief had indicated that he was willing to stick around during a transition period. Now, I don't know how long that would be. Seems like the transit that's gone on long enough. 18 months is a long transition
right.
period. And I don't know. The chief was not at the meeting on Monday night, but he has not indicated whether or not he was seeking retirement at that time. But certainly, he's got 27, 28 years with the city, and he's been in law enforcement his entire career, so he's approaching that retirement age. So he probably, you look at the political reality of the situation and what's, kind of where your standing is at right now, and I'm sure that probably crossed his mind. He said he got a negative review in the end of May at the June 4th meeting in which he testified. He said that he had never gotten any review like that. He said there was no positives at all in the review. So certainly it looks like, the mayor and the chief are really split apart in the way they view this job and how the chief administers the police department right now.
And John, speaking of people that work for the city of Fairhope, reading through here, there have been quite a few people that have left Fairhope, the employment of Fairhope city government. I mean, that's something that's been going on over the 18 months.
Yeah, that's no secret, and some of them are, you know, it rubbed them the wrong way how it was handled. And they were present at the June 4th meeting, not all of them, but there were a few that were that stood up with the chief. And, of course, you talk to Mayor Wilson supporters who showed up to Monday's meeting. They said that, you know, they were it was all planned. It was a staged event. It was orchestrated by Council President Jack Burrell, who some of them accused of trying to push the mayor out so he can become the mayor. And Councilman Burrell said that's not true. He doesn't want to become the mayor. So there's all sorts of folks involved in this community right now that are just butting heads over almost everything that has to do with city governance.
All right, coming right back, more with John Sharp and his story, one of many that you need to read right now over at AL.com. But this one, if you're trying to keep up with the page-turner that has become Fairhope Politics, pretty good. Pretty good way to get yourself up to speed when you check out his story at AL.com, or I've retweeted it at FM Talk 1065. 1216, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Good to talk to my buddy John Sharp. And we're going to talk about John is not at the AL.com headquarters. He's not even in the glorious beaches of Baldwin County right now, but we'll find out where he's talking to us from in just a second. I do want to wrap up a little bit of this discussion about Fairhope, because I continue to read your stories, because it takes some studying here, man, to understand what's going on, especially, I guess, for a Mobile County guy. You know, I have to have some education.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players involved, and if you're not in Fairhope, you know, the always the question is, again, as a guy who's reporting on this stuff, you got to try and make it interesting for folks, you know, who aren't Fairhope residents. But there's so much political intrigue in a community that, you know, from the outside, you're looking at it, you're saying this is the fastest growing city in Baldwin County, fastest growing city in Alabama.
Right.
And, you know, it's charming. It's on the bay. I mean, what's wrong with Fairhope? There's nothing wrong with Fairhope, you would say, from the outside. But when you go into the city council chambers, it seems like everything's wrong, and that's kind of, you know, the issues there, and it involves personalities and politics.
Right, and is this, from what you've seen so far, you're in the business of reporting facts, not passing judgment, but do you believe that this hubbub about the police chief is a proxy for something else? I mean, because the council and the mayor weren't exactly getting along before this either.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and it could be, you know, Mayor Wilson's looking at this as you know, I'm the mayor. I got my own vision for the police department, and I want to put in my guy, I suppose. Who that is, I don't know.
Right.
Or if that's even the case. But, you know, looking from the outside, you know, you wonder about a bad review, a police chief from it was appointed by her opponent that she defeated, and that sort of thing, and you kind of add those up, and what happens in other cities, and that wouldn't be unusual.
What I do know is the discussion from both sides over this have been, while it's riveting to watch the videos, it has not been civil. I mean, like you said, Fairhope, you would think it, I don't know, people in Fairhope are probably sick of hearing that, but, you know, we think it's going to be more civil and dialogue, but it's been pretty rough and tumble.
Well, and Councilman Robert Brown, I think, put it quite accurately. He said, we're at ground zero in relationships. And now the question is, who should approach who to heal those relationships? And the mayor's indicated that she's done that outreach before and has gotten nowhere. And some of the council members have said succinctly that they will not meet with the mayor, that they can't trust her. So there we're at. And it's unfortunate for the folks in Fairhope that are getting tired of hearing and reading about it, but I mean, that's just the truth. It's a situation where you have the mayor and the city council is just completely split.
All right, not to leave the west side out of this at all. What do we need to know in short? Like, what is the Cliff Note version of what's going on here in the city of Mobile with Public Works and the city, the administration, the Stimson administration?
Yeah, the Public Works employees want to meet with the mayor's administration to talk about perhaps a pay increase, workplace conditions, safety on the job, those sort of things. They want to talk to the mayor, and they want to, or a representative with the administration. The mayor's administration has come back and said, well, we're willing to do that, but we want to meet with employees, people that are on the job right now. We don't want to have a discussion with folks that are not, we don't want to discuss personnel matters with folks that are not city employees. And that's kind of the issue right now. The representative for the public service workers, which actually is not a union, and it's actually a the person I talked to yesterday, Wesley Young, indicates it's a nonprofit organization. And so they're not a collective bargaining unit, they're not a union, and he's been retired since 2005, so he's not a city employee per se, but he doesn't want, his position is he doesn't want some city employees brought into those negotiations and bullied around. He says that he's comfortable about meeting with the mayor's administration, and he wouldn't be intimidated. And so you got kind of a standoff there somewhat. You've also had some folks that have shown up to some of these council meetings that are from, not even from Mobile, they're from other parts of the state, representing a special interest group of some sort, a social ones with a social justice organization. And the mayor's administration said, well, we're not going to meet with these folks to talk about personnel matters, which is
right, because that's not just because it's a whim or a fancy. That's not protocol, correct? Why would somebody, a third party, be able to talk about personnel? It seems strange that they would ask that.
That's correct. I think the issue, though, right now is whether or not Mr. Young can sit in on meetings, as long as, you know, there's some full-time city employees present as well. And I guess that's kind of where we're at right now. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. These folks have been at the public service employees have been at council meetings with some of their allies and have been demanding this meeting with the mayor's administration. The city council yesterday just kind of threw up their hands. They're like, there's not much we can do. We can't force this meeting. It's not really a city council matter at this point, although they have vocalized their intent. Some of the council members have at least vocalized their intent on approving a pay raise if it comes before them.
Also, I want to talk about a story you're going to put out here soon, because you're talking to us from where right now? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm standing here in the Hank Aaron Boyhood Home and Museum out of Hank Aaron Stadium. I'm looking into a story about, you know, the future, the potential future of this. I would call it kind of a hidden gem. It's a lot of folks probably aren't aware of it unless you've been out at the Hank to go to a baseball game, that the Boyhood Home is here, and it's a very interesting museum. It's a small museum, but there's a lot of neat artifacts in here. And at any rate, there's been some talks about when the Bay Bears leave Mobile at the end of the season, you know, what becomes of the house. You know, it was moved here in 2010. Does it stay out here next to essentially an empty stadium? Although we don't know that for sure yet, if it'll be an empty stadium going forward. But, you know, if you look on the surface right now, you're not going to have a minor league ball team here next year.
Right.
So you have this museum that, you know, could potentially be a little bit of a draw if it was put in a prominent location. And that's the key phrase there, prominent location. And the city's talking about it. They're interested in seeing if there is this prominent location for it to go, and you know, maybe your listeners might have some thoughts on where something like this could be that would draw some foot traffic, because this is fascinating Mobile history. I mean, one of the things about Mobile is a lot of people sometimes don't realize this unless you're a sports fan, but next outside of New York and Los Angeles, Mobile comes in number three for the most Hall of Fame baseball players that have come from the city. I think that's just a fascinating stat. So how do you capitalize that as far as a tourism draw? A lot of people are interested in seeing sports tourism, and this home, I think, could potentially be kind of a cornerstone to that.
Yeah, other than that, yeah, I suggested the other day on the air, maybe it ends up at one of Hank Aaron's car dealerships in Atlanta, but if it doesn't, it should be somewhere that people can get to it here in Mobile. But that's got to be something that this, I guess, the city's going to put it on city property or have a private entity run. Who runs it now? Is it part of the Hank? Is it part of the city? Is it a 501c3? What is it?
Yeah, it's city property right now. It's owned by the city. It's just like Hank Aaron Stadium.
Okay.
The city owns it, and so it's in the city's hands. of course, you know, I'm sure that they wouldn't do anything without the Aaron family weighing in on it.
Sure.
So that would be just the appropriate way of going about doing
Absolutely.
It. But and when they moved the house back in 2010, it wasn't something where you easily move it down the street. You know, it took it was quite an operation. So
I remember,
you know,
yeah.
Moving it to Atlanta would be
I'm just being a smart aleck. You know that. Okay, and just a less than a minute left here. But you said you something people can go back and check out is last night. So what game was it that Hank was talking on during the broadcast?
Oh yeah, it was on ESPN. It was the Mets Braves game last night. It was broadcast live on ESPN, and Hank Aaron spoke for about three innings. And anybody who's interested in baseball or even in you know. History of this of the sport. I mean, you know, Hank Aaron is, he's a living legend in the game, and he was up in the broadcast booth talking about his career, and then talking about Mobile. And there was a fascinating exchange between Hank Aaron and Billy Williams. Billy Williams called in, and they were talking about their time in Mobile together. And there was a lot. There's some graphics of Mobile, and some of the players that came from here, being you know Ozzie Smith, Satchel Paige. So Mobile got a lot of national attention last night from that ball game.
That's a great thing. And, John, we appreciate you letting us know about it. We'll go back and watch it on DVR. There's John, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Wednesday style. By the way, Manis boys are doing something, but they're always doing something great. Specifically tomorrow night, Manises are having one of their famous free tastings, this time with some of Gulf Shore's best. Big Beach Brewers is going to be there to tell you about four Alabama Coast brewed beers. I love this. I love when you get tasty beer and it's a local product. It's like a win-win-win-win-win-win. Their 100 Days IPA, their Rod's Real Cream Ale, Dixie's Heart Irish Red Ale, and their Small Town Brown Ale. And as always, the beer will be free. The tastings starts tomorrow night at 6. Grab friends. Come on out. They're at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Very easy to find, right on the corner of that shopping center there. And you come on in, and in the back there at the lounge, that's where they have the tastings. And, of course, you get to taste the beer, see what you like, and also get some food. They'll have food for you and swag, you know, with logoed stuff, whether it be stickers or hats or all those that kind of things. That's what they bring when they do these tastings. So that is tomorrow night at 6, Cottage Hill Package with Big Beach Brewers, four different beers to taste then. And while you're there, of course, it's Father's Day coming up this weekend, or Father's Hour, whatever we get. Well, I don't know, I have not been informed yet what the dads get, but maybe a great chance to pick up something for dad and yourself while you're there. Craft beer, fine wine, spirits, or if dad is a cigar fan, like I know my dad is, we can pick up cigars aplenty, as they have a humidor doesn't even do it. It's a wing of Cottage Hill Package that is one giant humidor. I mean, it's a giant cigar room, and they have a tobacconist, Billy's there, who can lead you through and give you recommendations, maybe based on some cigar you've seen them smoke in the past or what they like. Really is a font of information when it comes to buying cigars. So come out tomorrow night, check out the beers from Big Beach Brewers, and while you're there, get a gift or three or four for dad. And oh, by the way, too, another great event coming up next week. We'll tell you about another cigar event in the very near future. All right, 12:38. We can grab calls. I got some text in here on this, but I also want to run through. You know, we talked with John Sharp about a couple things. Number one, the Hank Aaron home, something that, of course, we brought up on the shows. You know, y'all brought up when it first, really, not long after the word was out that you know, the Bay Bears were packing it up and going to become the Moon Men. The Madison Moon Men or something like that, that when that came up, we started talking about what to do with Hank's house, the childhood home of Hank Aaron. And I think that's an idea that a lot of people have said, okay, well, this is a chance to maybe make this move that should have been, I don't know if it should have been done in the past. To me, it seems like it was in the perfect place while we had baseball going on at Hank Aaron Stadium. But if we won't, where would you put Hank Aaron's childhood home? Maybe somewhere city property downtown. Somebody suggested the Mardi Gras Park. I said, well, it didn't make sense. Now, everything is not Mardi Gras, right? As much as I love Mardi Gras, somebody says, you put Hank's home at Mardi Gras Park. That makes sense. Mardi Gras Park needs to be Mardi Gras stuff. Maybe there's another. I mean, the
the mayor's been talking about all the properties that the city has that are blighted. What if you go in there and bulldoze, you know, somewhere that you have an issue and you can have space there to put that museum in and maybe do something with all the other, you heard John talk about all the other Hall of Famers from our area. How about putting some kind of bigger general, you know, have the house there with that museum and then statues outside, something like that might be an idea for the city. That's one of the things. The other thing is this debate here between Public Works and the mayor. And it's, I'm once again, I'm not asking this rhetorically, but if somebody can tell me why I'm misunderstanding this issue. I mean, I'm hearing it, and it sounds like the city, and I heard City Attorney Ricardo Woods yesterday say, this is not, the law says you don't, you only meet with the employees. You don't meet with outside entities, and I'm paraphrasing, with outside entities or any kind of unionized that they meet. That's how it works. So when the Public Works folks have argued that police and fire had negotiated or talked with them, but they did it, I think, as individuals, not through a collective bargain. So I have just a question. That's a real one. If somebody out there can answer it, why I'm missing, if I'm missing part of this and how I'm missing it, let me know. I mean, it, because the news, TV news headlines are saying a lot to the end of, oh, well, the mayor's not meeting with them, but it's, I think it's a little more complex than that. You know, things are a little more complex. And then also what's going on in Fairhope as you have, what, 2 weeks of pretty dramatic meetings in the city of Fairhope, 18 months into the Wilson administration. And we'll talk about all those. Gary's in Baldwin County. Let's start with Fairhope and Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Sean.
So what's the story?
I may have mentioned to you once before, I used to work for the state and got around to see some activities within all the counties, or most of them anyway, and something like that in Fairhope's just fresh because it's got some publicity and it's been on the air and they have a new mayor and such so forth. But that's not uncommon for anything in Baldwin County. It's a quagmire of power struggles throughout that entire county with the school system, that big community college up there in Bay Minette, mm-hmm. That will remain nameless, the economic development and the tourist develop, blah 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 blah. It's all a big hot mess.
Well, okay, because you're talking about power play, and it's good that you name some players, because often people say, oh, it's just a, you know, power play going on. Well, if there's a power play going on, who, you know, is it individuals? Is it a cabal? Is it an institution? You know, who wants what? I mean, this, I'm going to speak.
What I experience, it's all individuals. One person thinks that their way is the only way, and this is the way we're going to do it, or this is the way we've always done it, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's not uncommon.
So you're saying this is just
flavor of the month.
Okay, all right. So you're saying what we're seeing now might be new names in it, but this idea that I have is some kind of West Sider here that is always quiet and sleepy in Fairhope, that's incorrect.
I don't know so much about Fairhope, but Baldwin County in general.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that would, okay, I would say that, except for, I guess I'm used to there being some drama down at the Gulf, but other than that, it seemed like everything
sure.
else, at least from the outside, but you're saying underneath it's been, this is common.
What I think. Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Gary, I appreciate the call. Some people suggesting. No, Dink said that. Dink, I already said that. You can't do. Dink said send the home to Atlanta. No, we're not going to pay to do that. I mean, but I did suggest when the story first came up that Hank Aaron might want his childhood home up at one of his car dealerships in Atlanta, right? I mean, that would be a draw. Come take a tour of the house and buy, what's he sell up there? BMW. One of them's BMWs, right? So, but come see the house and buy a new five series. I don't know. Travis says, why not put Hank's house between the Maritime Museum and the Convention Center? People might visit those venues when they see Hank's childhood home. Well said, Travis. That's an idea. That's a pretty good idea. How about putting Hank Aaron's home somewhere by Africatown, close to Tolmanville, as the stadium is? It may be. I like that y'all are coming up with, there's several answers coming in here. That's good. Because I think when somebody said the other day, we can't just say, oh, we'll put it at the Mardi Gras Park because that's a new park. This is childhood. It's baseball. It's not, everything is not Mardi Gras. So I think that's good. Put it at the new new rest area visitor center on I-10. Yeah, but that's not in the city, Jerry. I mean, that's in the county. But is that, If it's the one I'm thinking about, Jared, the one right when you come in from Mississippi? I mean, if that's the same one, yeah, I don't know. I think it's got to be in the city limits. But maybe it's a good time right now because you have the city of Mobile saying, hey, we got all these properties. They haven't been kept up. What was it? Mayor Stimson said it was $80-some-odd million in backlog repairs on these buildings. Maybe at some point, you know, if it's bad enough, you just say, yeah, you know what? We don't need that building. Let's bulldoze it. Then you have some property the city already owns. It's not a new purchase. You can bring that home in there and probably set up a real nice thing. Have the museum in the home that's already there with Hank's childhood home. But then do something else to honor all the baseball greats from Mobile. And maybe that's, you know, we're always talking about, well, you put this in, it'll be a big tourist draw. Yeah, I don't know that people are going to divert, you know, 50 miles to go do it, but if there's a true baseball fan, like some of y'all that I know, and there was something like this in another city you're driving through, y'all may hit the old reroute there, right? And go check it out. I mean, maybe our city is not as appreciative of our baseball heritage, but there are people from outside of here that probably are more into it. All right, coming back, more to get into on the City of Mobile stuff. Also, in hour number two of the show today, you heard Cam Marston. He hosts What's Working on Wednesday nights here at FM Talk 106.5, talking about cybersecurity and not just simplistic, not the simplistic part of, we're not going to get on here, change your password. A little more in-depth discussion of what's real and what are the real threats surrounding cybersecurity. He's going to tackle that on tonight's show, but he's going to join us next hour to give us a little preview of what's happening tonight on What's Working. Plus, let's do this. Dalton, let's fire up some phones. Let's give another pair of tickets away to the 16th Annual Mystic Striper Society Fishing Rodeo. Now, here's how it works, y'all. When you win, if you're caller number six, by the way, go ahead and call 343-0106, 343-0106. But I got to tell you, you call, I got to know a couple things. That you can get your tickets by Friday because the fishing rodeo is on Saturday. So I need you to come get your tickets before Friday at 5, maybe even tomorrow at 5. So you need to come get your tickets. And then beyond that, I need to have your name and whomever's fishing with you. So you're winning two tickets. Ticket for you and somebody to fish with you. When you come pick them up, I got to have your name and address and their name and address because all this has to go to the Mystic Stripers so they can have you in the raffle and prizes and all that kind of stuff. And if I don't get the names into them, well, you don't want a striper mad at you. So there you go. All right. Caller number six, good luck. 343-0106. Let's check in with News 5 right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. Oh, yeah, and a big congratulations, Bo Robinson. Good work. Picked up those tickets to go check out the Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo this weekend along with a friend. We'll give you more chances to win those, which, by the way, here are the details. The details if you'd like to go fish this weekend. A couple things are very important. Number one, it's a lot of fun. They've always had a great tournament, and for 16 years, a great tournament and great party. I mean, it is the Stripers, right? Also, the charity, fantastic. St. Jude's, money going to St. Jude's. And children, yeah, absolutely welcome. Great children's categories in this. And you've got fish categories, bonita and bluefish, croaker, flounder, black drum, jackavalia, king mackerel, ling, sheephead, slot redfish, Spanish mackerel, speckled trout, white trout, triple tail, or blackfish, as we call them, and red snapper. All right, prizes, first, second, third place, plus a king mackerel and speckled trout jackpot in there. And also those kids categories with croaker, hardhead, catfish, and white trout. Pick up your tickets through Dolphin Island Marina, the Deer River Bait Shop, Waves Bar, Greer's Food Tiger and Fowl River. They're in Bailey's Corner, as we call it. Jevison's, they're Ship and Shore, and Southern Pavement Bait and Tackle, and Tackle This, Shoot That. Plus, you could go through and go online to mssrodeo.com. Or the Facebook page for, just search on Facebook for Mystic Stripers Society Fish and Rodeo. But that is happening Saturday. It starts at 6 o'clock and way stations close at 5. And it's always a good party to happen afterwards as well. So good work, Stripers. The more suggestions for... Chester's might be my favorite at this point for where to move Now, because Chester must understand that I like efficiencies where you can do two things at a time. Chester, I was just pondering where we might move Hank Aaron's boyhood home if you're going to have an idol. Although I think, you know, like somebody suggested, a top possible location for Top Golf right there at the Hank. But if you won't, after this season, you won't have the Bay Bears playing there anymore. There's no reason to have Hank's boyhood home, even though it's Hank Aaron Stadium. It'll be empty Hank Aaron Stadium. So what do you do with it? Well, Chester suggests you locate the worst leak in the roof at Government Plaza and put Hank Aaron's boyhood home over the leak. Brilliant, Chester. Brilliant. I like that. I like that efficiency. That would work. Other than, I've asked this over five, six, seven, eight, 9 years on this show. Every time I see the story about the leaks at Government Plaza, and there's not a news story right now, but just give it a few days. Why don't we get the Flex Seal? The Flex Seal, we see the Flex Seal solve every problem on earth on the infomercial and commercial. Get it, even if we have to not just buy individual can, maybe we buy it by the case of Flex Seal cans. We go up on the roof there at Government Plaza, put some Flex Seal on it. Even if it takes two cases of Flex Seal, be a lot better off cost-wise. All right, so I don't know that there's any movement yet, obviously, on moving Hank Aaron's boyhood home. We still have, obviously, some time to work with, but it is a question, could it really become take a positive out of a negative, a chance to move Hank's home to maybe a place where more people would see it? And would downtown, somewhere in that area, be a better place where more people who are, the suggestion earlier, but I think from Travis about putting it down there near the convention center and all that. If we're looking for somebody, okay, let's just talk, let's be frank about something. GolfQuest, and I am, I'm a person who's asked hard questions about GolfQuest as a theme, as a thing to do. I like museums, I like the water. I mean, I'm on a war path for wasted money. There's some people who just seem to hate museums or anything. I'm not that person. But as people wait to get on the cruise ship, even though they would probably be blown away and amazed if they went inside GolfQuest and saw that museum, they don't understand it before they go in. They're not going to go in. You say, oh, it's about, shipping and container shipping and all this. The regular person from wherever, they're from Sylacauga. They're from Memphis. They're from Itawamba County, Mississippi. They don't care. But if out of those groups, people have baseball fans there and sitting nearby where they can walk, they've already parked, all this stuff, and they can walk and go look at Hank Aaron's childhood home. Travis, I think you make a good suggestion that probably would get foot traffic because people would understand that quickly, and even before they get on the thing, they'll say, wow, let's walk in there. I want to see it. Or let's take out, we have children that are into baseball or something like that. I think that would be pretty darn successful. So that's one of my favorite suggestions so far. You can keep them coming on the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, coming up next hour, like I said, Cam Marston's going to join us. Also, more discussion. If you want, people have been redrawing this map of Alabama. What if we split three ways like California is proposing to do? What if we split the state up to get more states of Alabama? How would you do it, giving you the power of cutting the state up? Where would you put the lines? And also, we'll get into a little bit on the latest for President Trump. He comes back in from this massive junket to Singapore and back, and back and forth across the international dateline and back across the international dateline. And he tweets something about nukes and about the future of the Korean Peninsula. But before he lands, I think he got Mike Pompeo kind of trying to explain the president. We'll get into that. What actually happened with what was signed there in Singapore? Will we actually see any kind of changes anytime soon? Seems to be, as always, a little differing opinion from what the president said to the people that have to implement it. But we'll get into that coming up in the next hour. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Remember, the Summer Better Than Other contest already started. Your chance to get registered today on through next week at the Carrot Patch in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. So check it out. 1258, check with the news, and then be right back.